live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:09 in the morning, 720 WGN. Yeah, roads are a mess out there. Be careful. Tim McGill from the WGN Chicago Weather Center at Channel 9 joins us. Now, Tim, I was calling this frizzle this morning.
Yeah.
Because it was raining, hitting the windshield, and then just turning to ice immediately.
Yeah, it was more of a nuisance overnight, but then early this morning around 4 or 5 o'clock, a little heavier band precipitation broke out that's causing bigger problems. Right now, I'm looking at the radar, and from about Streamwood to Schaumburg, Hoffman Estates, a little bit of sleet and snow, a little heavier there. Then you head south of the city, particularly northern Indiana, down towards Kankakee. We're seeing some heavier freezing rain and sleet there, too. Reports of about a tenth of an inch of icing in Kankakee in the last hour, and lightning and thunder. So we're seeing just about everything out there this morning. It's really messy.
Yeah, I saw kind of a neat lightning show last night over the lake. I thought that's kind of unusual for January, isn't it?
It is. It's not unheard of, but it is definitely unusual. It's just an indication this system has a little bit of intensity to it, some good dynamics with it. But it's going to be moving out, looks like, around 9 o'clock this morning. But up through that time, especially city southward, you're going to see a lot of slick spots out there. Then I think we'll just see a lot of clouds lingering, about 30 for the high today. Another system comes at us Friday night and Saturday morning with a little bit of light snow, and we warm up above freezing next week, and mainly just rain, maybe a mix Monday morning, but mainly rain with 40s for highs. So a very active weather pattern, and so far the systems hadn't had a big impact on us. It's just the timing of this one and the fact that we've got some freezing precipitation that's making things really slow down this morning.
Tim, what's the difference between sleet and hail? That's why I was kind of calling this frizzle. I wasn't sure what to even call it this morning.
Sleet is smaller in size usually, and it's just the fact that you have precipitation falling and freezing and remaining below freezing, that layer of air near the surface, so it makes it all the way to the ground in the form of sleet. You normally think of hail in the summer, although you can see it in the spring too. You could even see it in the winter, I suppose. But you normally have more vertical motion with hail, so it bounces back and forth in the top of the thunderstorm. Normally it gets to be bigger in size, but very similar. But we're seeing sleet, freezing rain, and snow. We're seeing a little bit of everything out there this morning, and even lightning and thunder, as I mentioned.
You know, the worst part about this is that when you walk out your door, it looks like it's just a puddle. It looks like it's just the pavement's just wet, but it's slick.
Yeah, especially where it's untreated. I noticed that around my own house this morning, and especially getting in here to work. If it hadn't been treated with salt, you're in for a real slip and slide in the way to work or school this morning.
What was up yesterday, too? And I know Tom Skilling, this is his wheelhouse. This is probably like your April 15th for accountants. This is your Super Bowl, Tim. But yesterday with the fog, is that because it was 40-ish degrees?
Yeah, it was warm, but we had colder air moving in, and so it just fog is basically a cloud near the ground. So we saw that form, especially I think it was across our southern suburbs. And then a cold front came through. We don't have to worry about fog now, but temperatures are going to be dropping a little bit today after we get up to about 34 high this afternoon. They'll fall a bit. So, yeah, we've had everything from fog over the past 48 hours, rain, thunder, sleet, snow, freezing rain, freezing drizzle. You had a wide variety of weather over the past 48 hours.
Yeah, like I said, it's your Super Bowl. So you have us at a low of 14 tonight. We go back up to the 40s on Monday. When do you think we'll see snow? I mean, some significant snow.
I don't see it for a while because I think most of next week is going to be fairly warm. I mean, we have a system coming Friday night, Saturday morning. Southern suburbs could get a dusting. That's about it. It looks like the bulk of that's going to stay south. So a very active pattern, but it's a pretty mild pattern. So we've got this mild Pacific air in general coming through with occasional intrusions of colder air, but nothing to support a big snow, at least all the way through the middle of next week.
You know, and it's been such a weird couple of weeks, too. I mean, I know technically we had the white Christmas with the snow on the ground, even though it was kind of a milder Christmas this year. But what creates just the fluctuation? You know, 40 on Monday. Today we have a low of 14.
Yeah. It's this pattern we're in. You know, you've heard out in California, they've had in the Sierra Nevada mountain range almost 10 feet of snow over the past few days. Lake Tahoe, I heard, rose about a foot, combination of the rain and snow since January 1st. So they've been pounded out west, storm after storm after storm. The jet stream has kind of flattened out here. So we're getting a milder flow overall, but occasionally we get this colder Canadian air, not Arctic air, at least not recently, coming in to kind of mix up some of this precipitation like we're seeing this morning, but nothing bitterly cold. So we need the combination of warm, moist air coming up from the Gulf, bitter cold to get our bigger snowstorms. That's not going to happen. We're going to see these kind of nuisance storms come through every few days. This one may be a little bit more than a nuisance this morning if you're traveling into work, but for the most part, weaker systems every few days as a very rapidly moving jet stream from west to east across the country continues to kind of keep things active, it looks like, all the way through the early part of next week.
All right, Tim, thank you so much. So this should be kind of moving out about 9, 10-ish?
Yeah, I think about 9 or 10 o'clock this morning, but still coming down a pretty good clip south of the city in northern Indiana in particular right now.
All right, there you go. Stay safe. We appreciate it. That's Tim McGill from the WGN Weather Center up at Channel 9. So I still like my term frizzle.
Frizzle. Frizzle makes you frazzled.
We have a lot to talk about today. Did you see the Trump press conference?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I didn't see it live.
I think the reporters there saw bits and pieces of it, too.
Good point.
Wow. Jim Acosta, the CNN reporter, being
accosted.
Lambasted. Yeah, whipped into shape, if you will. We're going to be playing a lot of this back. Politics this hour, in the 7 o'clock hour. Rick Pearson, Pat Brady, Eric Adelstein will be in studio as well. Dean Richards coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And the great Bridget Gaynor, our friend Cook County Commissioner, in the 9 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk some movies with Nick DiGilio. Finally saw Manchester by the Sea. Oh my God, Mary, you were right. I cried. I went to bed depressed. I woke up depressed.
I have not seen it yet, but I have heard, and I don't know. Got to be in a mood to see it, right?
It was excellent. It was excellent. Oh. But just prepare yourself going in. It's very sad.
Okay.
Great movie.
Would the husband like it?
You know, I would say yes.
Okay.
Because it's a big guy theme.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's a father.
Right.
And a son and the uncle. And it's a family movie. Well, it's not a family movie, but it's about a family and a very kind of close family bond and what happens when that bond is shattered. Oh, I could do the trailers for
it. That was good.
Wow.
In a
this
world.
Is you. When that bond is shattered.
I know. Nick. Hey, look out, Nick.
Another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again. What to see, what's out at the show, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GM's Cochrane Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
6:22 in the morning. Steve Cochran Show. Freezing rate advisory until 9 o'clock this morning. Perfect day to stay tucked away in bed. Maybe watch a movie on the old Netflix, on the old HBO. Nick DiGiulio joins us. Morning, Nick. Hello, Mr. Nick DiGiulio.
Hi,
hey, you there?
Hello, I'm here, yeah.
Tucked into bed already?
No, I just got home.
Avoiding the frizzle. What do you do? Do you stay up now for a few hours?
Yeah, I'm usually up till about 11.
And then nap till what, 4?
Yeah, usually get up, have something to eat, and take another nap.
Yeah,
that's usually what it is. I just want to warn people, it's really bad out there. Dan and I just because Dan Shagrew, my producer, and I ride in and ride home together.
Yeah.
And I just walked in like 5 minutes ago, and it's really, really slick and icy out there, so be careful.
It is bad. Yeah, they got the salt trucks going, too, which they need. This is supposed to be moving through, Tim said, about 9 or 10 o'clock, but yeah, the commute's already a mess, too, so glad you guys are home safe. Nick, I was telling the gang here, you'll be proud of me, I saw Manchester by the Sea. I didn't bawl my eyes out, but of course cried a lot. Fantastic. I don't see anybody getting the Oscar other than Casey Affleck for best male performance.
Well, I mean, he's definitely the odds on favorite, to get it. You know, there have been other really good performances. Denzel in Fences, has a chance. And, you know, the way that La La Land is going, Ryan Gosling also has a chance, but I think Casey Affleck is going to get it.
Yeah, I'm seeing La La Land tonight. Finally, I know you've been saying see this movie because it's so fantastic.
Yeah,
it won everything at the Globes.
I've only seen it 7 times. So,
you want to come with me and my mom tonight? You can see it at 8. Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, she'd be thrilled. She'd be like, Andrea, who? So we got a lot of great movies coming out this weekend, though. Patriots Day. This looks good. I'm cautiously waiting what you think of this.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it yet, but it's the story of what happened during the Boston Marathon bombing in 2013. It stars Mark Wahlberg as a police sergeant who works in tandem with an FBI agent played by Kevin Bacon to get everything after the in the aftermath to get everything back up and going and find out what's happening. It's directed by Peter Berg, and he and Mark Wahlberg have worked twice together before. They did a movie earlier just this past year called Deepwater Horizon, which was about an oil rig explosion based on a true story. And they also did a war film called Lone Survivor together. And they've really kind of cornered the market on sort of intense true stories of being challenged. And this is, it's getting mixed reviews. Some people are really liking it. Some people aren't so much. But, yeah, it opens this Friday.
I love Mark Wahlberg. I just such a fan of his. I think he could play almost anything. And this is right in his neck of the woods, too. He always thrives when he plays, the Boston characters.
Yeah. No, he's from Boston, so that's a good thing. But no, there was a period of time when I thought Mark Wahlberg was making some really horrible movies and some bad decisions. But over the past, I would say 8-9 years, he's really become a terrific actor. And he's a great, the one thing that people don't think about, he's a very, very great comedic actor.
Is he really?
I mean, both of the Ted movies, if you watch I Heart Huckabees, and especially The Other Guys with Will Ferrell, he's hilarious in that movie. He's a good actor, and it's obviously a compelling true story, so we'll see what they do with it.
And he's also really funny in Wahlburgers, if you ever watch that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're the only one.
I don't. Do you watch that, Nick?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
TV. It's on TV. I watch it.
Yeah, it's one of our go-to. It's embarrassing, kind of, that we watch it, but it's easy to watch. But the whole family, his mom is really funny, but he's really funny in that, too. So.
Yeah, I like the mom in that, too.
And I like, they showed, so he was heavy for a role prior to this Patriot Day. I don't know what movie he was in before it, but he had to be heavier for that movie. So he was eating a lot and got out of shape. And on Wahlburgers, they covered how whoever directed Patriot Day saw him and said, uh-oh, you need to be in better shape. So he, slimmed down in 6 weeks of basically eating nothing. And he had this whole, scale that would weigh his body fat percentage and things like that. And it's amazing how quickly someone can get in shape when you've got all these professionals with stuff stuck to your body to make sure you work out properly.
Oh, sure.
These guys who gain a lot of weight and lose a lot of weight, women who gain a lot of weight and lose a lot of weight for roles, are putting their health at risk. It's dangerous to do that.
Well, how about when your guy McConaughey lost? What did he lose? 100 pounds or something? To play?
He lost 70 pounds.
Yeah, for Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, he didn't look all that healthy.
He still hasn't gained it all back, and which is fine because he looks great. But he was a much sort of a thicker and bigger guy before that movie. And guys like Christian Bale, if you go and watch the movie The Machinist, I don't know if you guys, it's a very small, low budget movie. If you watch that movie, he is skin and bones. It's terrifying how much weight he lost for that movie, and then had to gain it all back, for his next role. And to do that back and forth, it's really dangerous.
That's
Robert De Niro
healthy
was not
at all. Yeah.
No, it's not. Robert De Niro was hospitalized after Raging Bull.
Remember that? Yeah. And then look at him in Taxi Driver. I think I weigh more than he does in Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
So, yeah the versatility of these actors, just some of the actors, is just awesome. All right, Nick, let's hit a couple more of these movies that are coming out this weekend. Live by Night, 20th Century Women.
Well, Live by Night is Ben Affleck's new movie, wrote and directed it. It's a gangster drama that takes place in Prohibition, and he's the lead in it. And, again, hearing mixed things about this. 20th Century Women is a movie with Annette Bening, Greta Gerwig, and Elle Fanning. Annette Bening is definitely going to get nominated for an Oscar for this movie. It takes place in 1979. She's trying to raise her teenage son, and she enlists the help of a teenage neighbor played by Elle Fanning, and this sort of wild, free-spirited young woman played by Greta Gerwig. It's not a great movie. There are good things in it, but Annette Bening is great in it, and she, I think, is guaranteed an Oscar nomination.
I like Annette Bening.
Yeah,
she kind of went away and then came back again. Sleepless, Bye Bye Man.
Sleepless is a new action movie with Jamie Foxx. He plays a corrupt cop whose son is kidnapped by someone he owes money to, and he goes on a rampage to try and find the kid. This is one of those movies that's been sitting on the shelf for about a year and a half, and they are dumping it in the dumping ground that is January, where a lot of crappy movies get dumped.
Sounds like Taken.
So there's that.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it does, except in Taken, he's not a corrupt cop. and it's his daughter that gets taken. And then the Bye Bye Man is this a horror film that's coming out. First, it's rated PG-13. That's strike number one. Strike number two, it looks like a complete ripoff of Candyman, where if you say the Bye Bye Man's name three times, he shows up and then starts haunting you.
Candyman freaked me out, maybe because it was Cabrini Green, but God, I couldn't. That movie just
creeped me out. No, it's a freaky movie. It's a great movie. The first Candyman is a terrific movie. They made like five of them, but the first one is great. But the Bye Bye Man is it's your standard January PG-13 horror release. You get at least two or three of those a month every January. So.
Do the actors have a say? Okay, because it is true. It's the dumping ground. January, not all the great movies coming out, but some of these sound really good. The actors don't have a say, right? That's just completely up to the studio?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, if they test a movie, 6 months before it's going to come out, and it gets a horrible test, and the audiences hate it, they'll go back, and the studio will make them reshoot things. They'll make them edit things. They take these test screenings very, very seriously. And Sleepless is one of those movies, the Jamie Foxx movie. It's one of those movies that's been sitting on the shelf. They've tested it. They've recut it. They went back and reshot things. They're trying to fix it. They really couldn't fix it. So you dump it in January and hopefully make your money on cable and DVD.
Oh, there you go. And Monster Trucks, what's that?
Monster Trucks is a kid's movie. And the plot is a subterranean monster likes to hide in this guy's truck and make it drive. So let me just tell you, it looks horrible.
Oh, I've seen the previews for this. Yeah, the guy with the bad surfer hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the monster lives inside the truck, and it flies, and it does all this stuff. And so let me tell you a quick story. When I went to go see Kubo and the Three Strings the first of four times that I saw it, I was sitting in front of a guy who had his three daughters with him. They were sitting behind me. And before the movie, they showed trailers. The first trailer they showed was for Trolls. So they show Trolls. And then, like afterwards, I hear the little girls going, "Daddy, can we see this movie? Can we see this movie?" And he's like, "Sure." So they go, the next trailer they show is Storks, another animated movie. They show the trailer. All the girls are excited. The trailer ends. The little girls go, "Daddy, can we see this movie? Can we see this movie?" He goes, "Yes, of course we can." Then they show a trailer for Monster Trucks. They show the trailer. The trailer ends. Before the kids say anything, the father goes, "Not a chance."
Hilarious. Yeah, so, it doesn't look great. Doesn't look like the type of movie I would see, but hey,
Yeah. Well, they also tested this one, and they had to change the CGI effects at the last minute because the monster scared the hell out of kids.
Yeah,
so they had to change it.
So yeah. Be careful of that one. Nick, thank you. Right. Andy Mazur is jumping up, bouncing off the walls here because you're going to promote your next movie.
Oh, I can't wait. I might even join you for this one.
Well, you should. You should come out. It's fun. My next screening is Tuesday, February 7th, and we're showing, in honor of Valentine's Day, a nice romantic comedy, a really terrific movie with John Cusack, Say Anything, classic. So we're going to show that one.
This is the one. This is the group outing. This is the one.
I gave her my heart. She gave me a pen.
That's right. One of the three movies where John Cusack is heartbroken in a rainstorm.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You've created your own monster truck in studio. Nick's created his own monster truck in studio. Now he's going to be quoting Say Anything all morning.
Nice.
Nick, thank you. So, you are the best.
You got it.
All right. Stay warm in the frizzle. It's Nick DiGilio. Say Anything, Tuesday, February 7th at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. We'll have the big story next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace. That information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public. As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. Somebody released it. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
6:42 in the morning, 720 WGN. Yep. That was the Donald's first press conference yesterday, President-elect Trump's first press conference. We're joined by the great Steve Cochran. Steve, I know you watched that. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Craziness ensued.
Yeah, live from the ice storm. You know, Cirque du Soleil Trump, the press conference was a hot mess. Chuck Todd's on the line. I want to bring Chuck in here. Denial doesn't mean there's not fire where there's smoke, Chuck. This investigation isn't over, is it?
It's not over. There is clearly some part of the investigation that is still open. The question is, who has got it open and what are they investigating specifically? on my if you listen carefully on Sunday, I asked Lindsey Graham, what is the investigation still active? He said he believed it was. It may be an interagency task force, or it may simply be the FBI criminal division, which is separate from what the email division. So, and the question is, it's my understanding there's still an active, somewhere there's still an active investigation about whether there were any contacts before the election between any American campaign operatives in Russia.
I was going to say, once you peel back the onion, you find more. And obviously, the old cliche is always true. It's not the lie, it's the cover-up. And we don't know who's lying or if there's a lie, but it's beholden to our security people to find out if there is. And again, there's no upside to telling the people that are doing the investigation that you're a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah, look, I think what Trump may have successfully done, though, is certainly kept his people from believing any of this and kept his supporters from believing any of this and deflecting and forcing and focusing attention on the press and the process and the substance. I mean, look, it is what he is tactically very good at. He was very good at it during the campaign, and he was extraordinarily good at it yesterday. I thought his demeanor was very calm. He was not, you know, he could have come out there swinging. He let Spencer do that. He came across fairly calm in what was a chaotic atmosphere. But remember, Trump, what looks like chaos is exactly the way he likes it.
But the thing I continue to be stuck on is the public's perception and the public's feelings about who's to blame and the media are a bunch of jerks and all that. Frankly, it doesn't matter if there is something that is treasonous at the worst point or something very bad going on behind the scenes. It's up to the people in charge to find out if there's corruption. That goes to the core of the issue, whether America likes it or not.
Well, and I would look, and it's actually now, I think we have hit a tipping point here. I think we need some sort of 9/11 commission, special select committee, whatever you want to call it. I was talking to a Republican senator who says that he's, you know, that this person believes, look, that this is needed and that Republicans should want it for this reason. Do you want to be stuck defending him? Or do you want to be stuck attacking him? Most elected officials don't want to have to do either, if that makes sense. So what's the better but you're concerned about Russia? So punt it to a third-party entity. Now, Trump doesn't want that because you never know where those things go. But that's exactly the point. This Republican senator I talked to just doesn't think that Congress is capable of investigating and just thinks it's better to put it in a, you know, and of course, John McCain's been singing from this songbook for a while. And I think if you're Donald Trump, you need it because your credibility around the world is going to get called into question right now.
Wasn't there an opportunity yesterday? And again, this is a pipe dream. But if Donald Trump stands up in front of that press conference or tweets it out or whatever and says, I can't start my new administration with this kind of cloud over it. It's not true. Yeah. I want it to be proven not to be true, so I want a full investigation of all of this so America can know who their president is.
Right. I don't know why it's so hard to just say that, Steve. I mean, it's the easiest thing to shut this down. It's the fastest way to get Rex Tillerson confirmed as Secretary of State. I mean, the trickle-down positive impact for Trump would be incalculable right now, 8 days to go before the – I mean, if he would just utter those three sentences – you know, it would smooth things out and buy him 3 months at a minimum of almost like a honeymoon of sorts. But he is fighting this, which if only means the skeptics think there's even more there.
Well, that's exactly the point, right? Because if there isn't anything there, you say those three sentences. And if there is something there, you try to avoid the investigation. So he continues to create problems for himself. Having said that, I know you got to run, but Rex Tillerson, I thought, was pretty impressive yesterday.
You know, from 30,000 feet, I agree. Granularly, I don't agree. I think he showed that he's still got a lot to learn. And he came across to me more like he was a Supreme Court nominee, like afraid of giving his stances. That's not what we want. Our Secretary of State, the Secretary of State of the United States, is essentially the world's spokesman for democracy. And I think that that's what, when you saw Marco Rubio get pretty aggressive with him, that's essentially Marco Rubio, you know, a Cuban American who takes that much more personally, the idea of human rights. And you know, so he's very anti-Putin. And the lack of moral clarity coming from Tillerson during this confirmation hearing is troubling to a handful of Republicans. And look, I don't think he's going to get out of state. Because remember, there's only a one-vote advantage for Republicans. That doesn't mean he can't get confirmed. But I don't know if Rubio's going to support him. I really don't.
And I got to run. I wanted to salute you for MPP Daily yesterday, which I encourage folks to watch. You had a very engaging discussion with the editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed, who's a good guy, by the way, but about a BuzzFeed decision on how they handled this story, which I think anybody who has any interest in journalism and how it's done right ought to take a look at, and I'm sure it's available on the MSNBC website, or at least I hope it is. You got a plug for Meet the Press on Sunday?
Yes, we're still working on guests, but I do have John Lewis, of course, civil rights icon, Martin Luther King weekend, final Sunday of the Obama presidency. I think getting John Lewis's perspective is a pretty good one. But we'll also be focused on Russia and the Tillerson confirmation hearing too at the top.
All right, my friend. Always appreciate the time. Enjoy your day.
All right, Steve. Thanks, man.
Thanks. And, Andrea, at this point, I have successfully snow-skied my way to work, and I'll see you in a couple of minutes.
All right, sounds good. That's Steve Cochran and Chuck Todd. As Cochran said, you could hear him on Meet the Press. 6:56, 720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. All Valentine's Day, just a month away. We've all seen the candy in the stores, which was out right after Halloween. Sandberg, you have a cute story.
I do. This morning, I woke up to a note from Pat. And it said, you know, hey, babe, both dishwashers are clean because we have two drawers for our dishwasher, a top and a bottom.
Okay.
So both dishwashers are clean, which I love notes about, you know, clean stuff.
Of course.
And you're the most amazing woman I've ever met. I'm lucky to be married to you. Love, Pat.
Oh, will you save that?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to save it. And it's like, because it's like a perfect Mary note because it's got, talks about cleaning. And that he loves me. So.
See?
It was sweet. It made my morning. I wasn't expecting it, of course, because I don't get a note every day or anything, but I thought it was very sweet. So
it's so cute.
Oh, newlyweds.
So I was all smiley as I unloaded the dishwashers, because I do little chores sometimes in the morning before I leave.
Would that be your ideal Valentine's Day? Like the house is clean. not even a tangible gift.
That would be the gift.
We had a very romantic night too. I showed him how to empty my I got my new handheld, the Roybee, you know, it's like a dustbuster, the handheld vacuum for Christmas that I was excited about.
Oh yeah, Andy,
and
you
he's
missed
like
it.
can you show me how to empty it, because I used it today. And so I showed him how to empty it and showed him how you can rinse it out, and it was very romantic.
That's like foreplay. Hey, would you show me?
Are you sure he doesn't want something? You better watch it, girl.
I know, because he's playing to all of my favorites here. So
you're trying.
And then he poured me a scotch, and then he wrote me a really nice note about clean dishwashers.
Wow,
I'm gonna be thinking about this now as I watch him on Comcast. Thinking, notes.
No, you're
You're
gonna give him crap the second you
see
him.
I would never do that.
No,
hey, dude, anyway. Unloaded the dishwasher.
It made my day. So.
I love you, love you, love you. That's so sweet.
Hey, Mary, I heard you say, oh, newlyweds. Steve doesn't leave messages like that for you after how many years of marriage?
31.
Once in a while, he'll leave me something in my lunch, you
That's
know?
Sweet.
Like a piece of chocolate. It's something like that, once in a while.
Does he make your lunch?
No.
Okay.
No, I make the lunch and then I'll find
put
it the next
treat
day.
In. That's very sweet.
Mary, you are such a person of routine, which I envy. I wish I could do that more. I'm so all over the board. Like, one night I'll eat home.
Wait, which Mary are you talking about?
Vandeville.
Oh,
Mary
I think
has,
I'm also a routine person.
You
as
are
well.
Too. Yeah, you are too. But Mary eats lunch the same time every day. Yep. She has the
same thing
every single day.
Well, you know, sometimes I mix it up with the chips. I'll have a different kind of chip.
Well, what's the meal?
Ooh, live on the edge.
I have a half a sandwich every day, and I have...
What kind of sandwich?
Usually turkey, sometimes tuna.
Mayo?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Real
cheese,
mayo or Miracle Whip?
Miracle Whip.
And then she'll have chips and a pop.
What are you, from the Mayo Commission? Food corner.
No cookies.
But the condiment people are here.
We're saying Vandeveld is such a creature of routine. She eats the same thing every day at the same exact time.
Sometimes, you know, if we have food here, I'll eat that.
The patio's moved.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
You are fake news.
On Chicago's very own.
Don't be rude.
720 WGN.
It's all fake news. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. Sick people. And they put that crap together. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also very much of a germaphobe, by the way. Believe me. I have no loans with Russia at all. If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability. You know, the only one that cares about my tax returns are the reporters, okay?
You don't think the American public is concerned about
it? No, I don't think so. I won. Repeal and replace. It will be essentially simultaneously. I will be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created. On the fence. It's not a fence. It's a wall. You just misreported it. You're going to have a very, very elegant day. The 20th is going to be something that will be very, very special, very beautiful. And I think we're going to have massive crowds. I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
That's where we are, kids. We've reached a point where the reporter has to tell the president he's not being appropriate. Listen.
You know, I had somebody say to me yesterday, legitimately asking a question about a press conference, not ever having covered them. And having been to hundreds of them, there usually is not a lot of order. The whole point is you shout out your questions. But I have never, ever, ever been told, no, I'm not going to answer your question. I can't fathom that.
Well, there's a customary situation that goes on, and Rick Pearson can speak to this. But if you get shouted down, the next reporter in line customarily will pick up your question and run with it.
Right.
And I was told that Cecilia Vega from ABC News actually asked Jim Acosta's question yesterday. But the whole demeanor of the president standing in front of the room, the president-elect standing in front of the room, and telling CNN their fake news, and then on top of that having the new press secretary telling CNN they're going to be banned. You know, the clown show's arrived, kids. The circus has come to Washington, and it ain't a good thing. Rick, have you ever been in a press conference like that one?
Never. Absolutely not. And, you know, this is kind of, as we've talked before, this is going to be kind of the interesting dynamic developing on how the media covers this new president. You know, he's used to kind of an entertainment style of responding to the media, treating them as part of an entertainment empire. And it seems that he doesn't understand that there's real news. And that's the job most of us do, is real news. And now that this mantra of fake news seems to be spreading to just automatically diminish any kind of even legitimate criticism, I think is very troubling.
Yeah, the idea that Donald Trump says there's nothing to the story, so therefore it's fake news, is insane. Well, on what planet do I get to say it's not true, so stop talking about it? It's patently ridiculous. And by the way, for everybody that wakes up this morning and goes, good, I hate the media. And by the way, I have friends that, you know, have said to me, again, well, this is what the media gets, this is what the media ought to get. It's all BS. I hate to break it to you. The only reason you know anything about any corruption in government or any story is because the media works its butt off behind the scenes. Are there clowns out there thanks to the internet? Of course there are. Do I agree with the BuzzFeed decision the way they handled it? Absolutely not. But throwing out fake news at CNN or legitimate reporters. It's absolutely outrageous. And if you think that these reporters are going to go away, are you kidding me? You can ban everybody from a press conference. Guess what? They're just going to work harder, and they're going to work harder to find out the stuff where you could be controlling the message.
It's maddening.
Well, one of the things I think that's lost in all of this, particularly in his attacks on CNN, was the story was that salacious information, unspecified, was provided to both President Barack Obama and President-elect Donald Trump.
Right.
Information that the Russians could have, unverified information, but information they could have that could cause serious problems and compromise the presidency. That's the story CNN did, okay? They didn't get into any details, anything else. That's a legitimate story, folks. It really is.
It's completely legitimate, and it should, you know, and here's the appropriate response, aside from what I said to Chuck Todd before. The appropriate response should be from President-elect Trump, thank you for this information.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, intelligence community, for this information. And I want this full investigation to go forward because I want to be cleared of this, unless it's true.
Right. Every politician is a public servant. Everyone.
I'm here to tell you right now, mark the day, mark the calendar. This ain't over, kids. There is way too much smoke for there not to be fire. Now, you may need to look, the news cycles roll. Everybody's talking about something else. If you think the intelligence communities are going to pick President-elect Trump over the future of America and extreme government corruption, you're sadly mistaken. If you think somebody like John McCain is going to sit back and go, well, we took a shot, you're just wrong. So he's in trouble, Rick. I mean, there's more here.
Yes, and add to that the whole issue of how he is tried to separate himself from his businesses, which everybody that is an expert when it comes to governmental ethics says what he's proposed, turning over the businesses to his sons, is totally inadequate. And there is not enough separation that exists, particularly with his foreign business interests, that raises severe questions here about whether he can be manipulated. I mean, it's a licensing fee for having a hotel somewhere in a foreign country, and actions are taken by that foreign country, which could affect his business interests. There's really no wall that exists.
The rules that have been set up, onerous though they may be, matter. The traditions, the obligations of the office that have been set up for the last 250 years, they matter. And the idea that you're Donald Trump and you can come in and go, screw it, I'm doing everything my own way. If you don't like it, too bad. This is how he runs his business. And this is the mistake he's making right out of the gate. He makes every single move he's making worse. He makes his own situation worse. You're not going to have a chance to see how he could be as president if this continues. And if you think I'm being dramatic, wait and see.
But I think there are people that, frankly, they appreciate that 250 years of history, that doesn't matter, the tradition, whatever. This is the guy they wanted. This is the guy they voted for. Frankly, you know, this, again, raises that issue of, you know, when people talk about government should be run by like a business, and let's elect the businessman.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Rick. There's a line where the politics ends and the protection of the country and the protection of the Constitution overrides all of it. And that's the job.
There's a line that should exist.
Oh,
I don't know that it does.
Oh, I believe it does. I believe it does. I think Congress is so self-serving that they're not going to sit there and allow him to roughshod run over the Constitution and do whatever he wants for as long as he wants with evidence staring them in the face. It's not going to happen.
I think that's an ideal, and I hope that's the case. But when you look at the number of people throughout this entire campaign who criticized Trump for the statements that he made, for comments that he made, for proposals that he made, and then look at the number of those people who criticized him that have jumped on board the bandwagon, you know, that's the other side of politics as well.
The good news is everything's fine in Springfield. Because here's the thing, the people in Springfield, the courageous politicians of Springfield, have taken a look at what a mess the state government is, and they said, you know what we need? We need new leadership. We're going to forge a new path. So therefore, we're going to make Cullerton and Madigan still the leaders in the Senate and the House. Are you friggin' kidding me?
Well, here's a couple of things that are going on. One is you saw right before yesterday's inauguration of the 100th General Assembly, the General Assembly for our bicentennial year, right before that you saw some very bold moves by the Senate to try to start moving forward with a long-awaited compromise. That's a good thing. That's the most significant action we've seen in 2 years.
I agree.
Granted, there weren't any votes, but it did set down kind of a marker, and that's something that's been missing. Yesterday, the Senate, by rule, adopted term limits for the leaders of the minority and majority parties. That's a rule, frankly, that's kind of show business. It's a good sign, but a rule can be changed tomorrow. And, of course, there's a promise that there'll be a constitutional amendment down the way. Nevertheless, that's the most significant move towards Governor Rauner's overall call for flat-out term limits for all politicians. That's a big step. After all, the fight is largely between Bruce Rauner and Mike Madigan. Madigan, the longest-serving House Speaker in the nation right now.
And what a terrific job he's done.
Well, nevertheless, he gets the support of his caucus. And quite frankly, we've moved into a politics situation where you have Republicans who are beholden to Governor Rauner. You have Democrats who are beholden to Mike Madigan. And as much as Republicans, you know, have been raising the criticism that we've got Boss Madigan running the show in Springfield, Democrats say, well, what's the difference with Republicans when you've got Boss Rauner spending millions?
Well, the difference is, and you know how I feel about this. The difference is,
yes, I do.
And so does everybody else that hears this show. But you got one who's been in position for 40 years. It's broken. You know, if you have a contractor at the house who continues to destroy your house, why do you keep the contractor there? You get the government you ask for, people. And if you continue to put people in place that support Madigan, you're going to continue to have decay. You got a plug for Sunday?
Yes, on Sunday's show, we've got the new state comptroller, Susana Mendoza, and we'll be talking to her about whether she sees in this new dynamic of the post-election Springfield, whether we actually might finally get something done.
It's Sunday morning at 7. It's a Sunday spin. What are you writing about?
Well, obviously, we're keeping track of what's going on in Springfield as well as, you know, we've got the Cubs going to the White House on Monday. And I liked your idea, too, about take advantage of the labor.
Absolutely, man.
Have them help move.
Yeah, bend. Bend, lift. Lift and tote. You're Cubs. I'm a White Sox fan. That's what Obama's saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you, buddy. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Traffic from Mary and then Pat Brady from the road. Eric Edelstein joins us in a few minutes as well. With Pat Brady joins us. Pat, you have a company that does very well. What's your company's name?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
Where are you now?
What do I know?
No, where are you now?
Where I am in Vail, Colorado.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. So there's an ice storm going on here, by the way. You're not missing much.
I heard it looks brutal.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Springfield, a town you know far too well. I said a few minutes ago, you get the government you deserve, you keep supporting people that support Madigan, nothing is ever going to change. So he's Speaker again. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, more of the same. But yesterday in the editorial in the Downstate newspaper, he did start talking about reform, which it sounds like he's talking what the governor's been talking about for the last 2 years. So maybe he's seen the light and the political pressure. And the fact that he could potentially lose his speakership in the next election cycle, maybe he's actually on board a little bit more with what the governor wants.
Hold on. I mean, that could be true, but monkeys did just fly out of my butt.
Yeah.
So I'm not really holding my breath at this
point. Wait, let me get my camera phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, but you got to look at what's happened in the last week. The Senate actually put together a grand bargain that will probably reappear again. And the reality is there are political pressures now. All these downstate Democrats in tough districts that voted for Madigan are on the bubble, and there is a chance, if the Republicans can put it together, that they could knock it, knock the Speaker out and take over the House. It's going to be an uphill climb, but it could happen.
Yeah, and again, if you have a Democrat that runs your district and that Democrat supports Madigan and you think it's a good idea, well, good for you. If you think it's a bad idea, don't vote for him.
Yeah, and Scott Drury did vote present, which wasn't the full measure of what he probably should have done, but at least he'll get punished for that. But this is the first time I've seen in a long time there's so much grumbling amongst the rank and file of the Democrats that maybe he's getting the message. Like you say, probably not, but we're at a crisis.
Did you catch the Trump Fest yesterday, Cirque du Soleil Trump?
I did see that, and you know what else I saw is I watched a lot of the confirmation hearings of the Secretary of State, and I think everybody, you talk about this all the time, you got to look at more than one source. If you read the newspapers or some of the newspapers or the political newspapers, you think it was terrible. I thought he actually did a pretty good job.
So did I. Yeah, I did. Chuck Todd and I disagreed about that, but I thought Tillerson was fairly impressive. And when you ask somebody who's in a confirmation hearing, who's had no access to the records, is Vladimir Putin a serial killer? I think it's kind of an unfair question.
Yeah, I thought Marco Rubio, who I like, Senator Rubio from Florida, I thought he looked like a kind of a twerp.
Yeah.
He's Secretary of State. This is not, he's not a politician. He's responsible. He's the architect of our foreign policy. He can't make these statements and make a headline.
He can't make the headline, and he also hasn't been in any of the meetings yet.
Exactly. And he said that. He goes, hey, I'm not afraid to make judgments, but I got to have all the information, which to me is the mature response, not the political point getting response.
I thought the most striking thing that came out of the Tillerson hearing is that he's only 64. Ooh, boy, I tell you, that running a gas company, that'll age you.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that, too. But I did like his calmness, his kind of maturity. And the guy's a world player. It's going to be a different. It's going to be a businessman with that world player experience. I kind of liked him.
Thought so as well. You're back next week with us. Safe travels. And what do you say to a skier? Break a hip?
No, I'm done. I finished yesterday, and we had my daughter Kelly beat me into the ground. I'm very tired.
Yeah. Well, you're old.
I know.
Thank you, buddy.
Not as old as you. Not as old as
I
you.
Know. I'm 2 weeks older. Get off my show. That's the great Pat Brady, and thank you for that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It'll be repeal and replace. It will be essentially simultaneously.
No, it won't.
It will be various segments, you understand, but will most likely be on the same day or the same week, but
yeah,
probably the
understand.
Same day, could be the same hour. So we're going to do repeal and replace. Very complicated stuff. Obamacare is the Democrats' problem. We are going to take the problem off the shelves for them. We're doing them a tremendous service by doing it. We could sit back and let them hang with it. We are doing the Democrats a great service.
I don't even understand what that means. You're the president. You're the Republican. It's no longer the Democrats' problem. You're the one that says we're going to repeal and replace it. You're not doing anybody a favor. Listen. Shame on me for trying to make sense of that nonsense. Eric Edelstein's here. What's your company's name?
AL Media.
Welcome back. I bet you had a great trip.
I did. Can I just ask you a question, Steve? Remember Mystery Science Theater, where the two aliens would do commentary on the movies?
Yeah, I knew those guys.
You should do a running commentary on the Trump presidency for 4 years. Just get an open mic, because there's nothing that he says is true or makes any sense.
No. And I like how honesty isn't the instinct. It's just one of the chances, one of the options.
Right.
You know, for most of us, honesty is something where you go, well, I'm going to try to be honest.
Right.
We all lie, but I'm going to try to be honest. When it comes to the president-elect, so far, everything we've seen so far, honesty is just one of the things he'll consider.
Honesty is more of an option.
It's an option, but rarely used option.
Did you
get a chance to do any polling in Africa on how the Trump presidency is
But I
going?
Will tell you, it was good news, bad news. It was great to get away. I came back. And he's still the president-elect,
yes,
sadly.
Yes, yes.
But we're far away. We're 8,000 miles from home, and we're seeing all kinds of incredible animals and you know, plants and trees. And we see this thing, and the guide says, that's a warthog. He says, but look at it. You've seen it before. And we said, what are you talking about? He goes, I've never seen a warthog before. He goes, look at it. It's got really short front legs. It's got this scrunched-up face. And on its back, it's got this weird, thin, blonde hair that's too long. We call it the Trump.
Oh,
I kid you not.
This was one of the guides?
This is a guide, South African guide.
On the other end of the world.
On the other end of the world, looking, you know, we're like 30 feet from a warthog.
Wow. Good to see the respect is drifted.
It's worldwide. It's worldwide.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Your president, the warthog.
The warthog.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Here's the thing that is not going to change or not going to go away aside from Trump's behavior. When you have the four main security heads getting together to say, we have reason to believe there was direct contact between the Trump campaign and Moscow. When you have credible European media sources saying that the Kremlin put money in Trump's campaign funds through two foreign banks, this is going to take a while, but this ain't going away.
No, no. I think we're, you know, we've said it before. I think this is just more evidence. I think we're headed for a constitutional crisis. Look, Trump's not going to change. I think anyone who saw that press conference and was surprised is being naive. There's no Trump 2.0. This is Trump. What's going to change in 9 or 8 days is the accountability is going to change.
Right.
And the world has a way of catching up with presidents. And I don't care how glib or how facile or you know, how lack of self-awareness you have, world events do catch up to you. Now, I don't wish for crises or any of these things, but we all know how the world works. And the question is going to be, you know, someone wrote, it's one thing to belittle Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or Hillary Clinton or the news media. It's another thing when you're taking on intelligence agencies, people with guns, foreign governments, all that kind of stuff. It does come back to get you.
He is creating his own 24 script.
He is.
Because if you now are in a position to anger the Kremlin and create an issue where the Kremlin wants to do you harm, along with the fact that you are belittling. You think about CIA agents. People think CIA agents, this is some incredibly glamorous situation. They're all rich. They're all sleeping with supermodels all around the globe. This ain't James Bond, kids.
No.
The highest level CIA operatives, maybe on a good year, you might make $100,000. You don't see your family anymore. You can't talk to anybody about what you do, and your life is being risked every single day. At the bare minimum, the President of the United States, if he has an issue with you, ought to take it behind closed doors, and the rest of the time in public say thank you for your service.
That's right.
And there's no benefit to making anything up. What would they be gaining making things up?
What is the upside?
You know, one of the classic political science descriptions of the presidency was the power of the presidency is the power to persuade. And you're limited. Trump will be limited by his ability to get the bureaucracy, the intelligence agencies, the Defense Department, the State Department, all these agencies to follow along. Not because he says to go do something. It doesn't work that way. It works in the way of saying, we believe in what you're saying, and we will try to execute it. If we don't, it's disaster, and you'll be a failed presidency.
Yeah, and take a look at basic human behavior here. Okay, and I'm ascribing that to people that maybe don't deserve it. But basic human behavior is, if I'm guilty of something, I'm going to try to keep you from looking at it. If I'm not guilty of something, I'm going to encourage you to look at it. I'm going to say, no. You take a look. You stop. You stop at the accusations. You take a hard look at what you're accusing me of. You're going to see that I'm not guilty.
Right.
If I'm the president of the United States with all of the resources that I have, standing up yesterday and saying, and frankly, it's a Nixon line, but standing up yesterday and saying, the people need to know if their president's a crook.
Right.
We need a full investigation as far as it goes, because we can't start this new administration this way. So everybody that wants to start screaming about give him a chance, he is shutting down his own chance by his own behavior.
Right. And for president-elect of the United States to stand up there, does anybody really believe this story?
Yeah. No.
And everyone's like, actually, we do.
You said, what you just said, Eric, belittling, nobody should belittle anybody, especially the president of the United States shouldn't be belittling anybody, senators, directors of the CIA, and especially journalists. Just because you don't like a question, you don't label a news organization, especially CNN, fake news.
No, words matter, and they're going to matter even more in 8 days. And, you know, look, I think that the interesting dynamic is it might be the worst thing in the world for him to have had two houses of Congress that are Republican. Because if they were Democrats, he'd have a foil to go against.
Yeah, you could say they're out to get me.
They're out to get me and all that. But I think it's going to be a fascinating dynamic to see how the Republicans, particularly the Senate, deals with Trump. Because there's a lot of bad blood in there, even though they're Republicans who don't like the guy. I mean, the Rubios and the McCains and the Lindsey. I mean, look what he said about Lindsey Graham yesterday. You know, just taking pot shots at the guy.
That was uncalled for.
And so, here's the worst case scenario. A constitutional, by the way, an impeachment, a firing of a president, it's a disaster. It's a disaster economically. It's a disaster around the world. It's a security risk. It's an absolute disaster. But if it comes to that, the Republicans would still have a Republican president. So if you want to make enemies with all the Republicans that you need, not just to pass legislation, but that you need in times of trouble, and they have to decide between the Constitution and the country and you, it's pretty easy to say, well, Vice President Pence could step in tomorrow.
Right.
So when is Trump going to get that memo?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, we don't elect a king. And as frustrating and slow as the system is, there is a genius to it. And I think he's going to find out that he's very limited in what he's able to do. And he can rant and rave and he can tweet to his heart's content. But, you know, there's a process to getting things done that is very, very hard, that involves relationships and persuasion and logic and truth. And, you know, those things just seem to be beyond his grasp at this point.
I want to talk to you about the Democrats' responsibility here, but let's just leave this with this, and that is that just because I tell you it's not true doesn't mean it's not true. The investigation will go forward. It has to go forward. It should go forward, and we'll see where it goes. But this is a much bigger deal than you've been hearing about over the past couple of days as everybody wants to move on to other stories. Time now for, and again, Trump could make his life easier today. He'd have to change every aspect of his personality, but he could make his life easier at this minute today. Eric Edelstein's here. Chuck Schumer, while you were out chasing a buffalo on the plains of the Serengeti.
Yep.
Do the Serengeti have plains? I haven't been. Chuck Schumer said... and he's walked the comment back a little bit, but that he wasn't going to approve or take a hearing or walk down the street on any Supreme Court nominee. We have to stop playing with the Supreme Court. It's a third and equal branch of the government. The Republicans shot themselves in the foot. Why can't the Democrats be smart enough here to do the right thing?
I think they will. And like you said, he walked it back. I've heard Durbin and other senators make the comments. We sure hope he appoints somebody that's going to, you know, be middle of the road like Garland is. So I do think Democrats will hold their fire until they see who he puts up. But, you know, it will be contentious. There's bad blood on what they did to Obama in that last year. I agree with you, Steve. This can't be about score settling and points, but there's a lot at stake at the Supreme Court, and that's an understatement of the morning. And who gets that swing seat is going to make a huge difference. Now, whether whether Republicans decide to get rid of the filibuster and relative to Supreme Court nominees, I think we have yet to be seen. The McConnell Schumer drama that plays out will be interesting. But I do think Democrats are going to be more cautious, less political, more thoughtful than the Republicans were when President Obama put up Garland. I certainly hope so.
The same mistakes that are being made in Springfield continue to be made in Washington, with the old leaders continuing to have the jobs, including Nancy Pelosi in the House. The House is still strongly Republican, but what can the Democrats do the right thing and not be jerks?
Well, I think trying to find some solutions, whether and work together with the Republicans, whether it's on infrastructure spending, whether, in fact, if they do repeal Obamacare, that there's a replacement plan that actually does make sense.
And by the way, it can't take place instantly.
No.
It's not going to take place in 2 weeks.
That's right.
It's not going to take place in 6 months. It's a hot mess, and the president-elect doesn't begin to understand it, and he needs to not talk about it until he does.
Right. And the other thing I think more long-term Democrats need to be doing, House, Senate, nationally, is coming up with a governing agenda that isn't, you know, there's this weird debate going on right now, is should we be about the Obama coalition or should we be about white working class people? And that is a false narrative to me.
About Americans?
Well, how about an American narrative that says just because I help you doesn't mean it takes from you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
We're not going to have a black Congress. We're not going to have a redneck white Congress. We're going to have an American Congress.
Right. And I think the party, whether it's Democrat or Republican or maybe a third party or an independent, who figures out that governing agenda that reinforces we're all in this together and it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game, is the party that's going to have a governing agenda for the future.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards is at Channel 9 in the midst of Icemageddon 2017? Yeah, 2017.
I keep writing 2016 on my checks.
Well, I hope everybody who pays for this show will date their checks accordingly, and yes, you should.
When's the last time you wrote a check? I write hardly any checks anymore.
Maybe one a month, one every other month.
No.
Yeah. Why do you want one?
Do you mind?
No, whatever you need.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. The Carpenters, of course, are in the news today. Drake and J-Lo's fake romance continues.
I don't know how fake it is.
Alec Baldwin, Michael Jackson's daughter, actually.
Jackson's daughter is in the news.
Michelle Obama.
Paris. Her name is Paris.
Michelle Obama did another delightful appearance on late night TV.
Correct.
The Game of Thrones in the news. The Kardashians are in the news. But it's a big birthday fest. And when we come back, Dean, your mom, Mary Vandeveld, and Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast SportsNet, all celebrating birthdays.
Get the heck out of here.
How about that?
It's my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Dean Richards' mom is how old today?
She would be 94 years old today.
She would be, or she is?
No, I'm pretty sure she is.
Okay. And I understand she's got a new hoverboard. Is that what she's doing today, most of the afternoon?
She I got her that for Christmas, the hoverboard. She loves that. I got her some barbells for her birthday.
That's good. She needs to stay in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lift, curl, lift, curl, lift, curl. Keeps her yogurt ready.
That's right.
Your mom's awesome, Dean. She is just full of life and energy.
Vim and vigor.
She's something.
A little bit of that, too.
Never a dull moment, I'll say that.
Mary Vandeveld's birthday was last week, but we always celebrate birthdays here at least a week late. Unless your situation, like, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Dean's going to be filling in.
That's right.
Yeah, it's exactly a week late today.
Yeah, and I'm going to Florida for a wedding because I love weddings.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that about me.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, Sandberg, whose birthday isn't until Sunday. Sandberg, we're actually doing your birthday early, which breaks a lot of rules on this show.
I know, we are.
So we need to thank people for the birthday pizza.
Yes, we have to thank Lou Malnati's for Sandberg's birthday pizza.
It was the best birthday pizza ever.
Delicious.
And can I just say, too, Mary is hilarious. It's your birthday pizza, so you can do whatever you want. We're doing pizza in lieu of cake because Sandberg loves pizza. So we were going to sing to you. We're just having
I ate it first.
I know.
Oh, I didn't even think about
singing.
No, that's
okay. That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
So we'll fake sing.
It's really not okay.
But how funny was it? Why don't you tell everybody how you ate the pizza?
So on thin crust, my favorite pieces are the corner pieces. So I took all the corners off all the pizzas because I figured since it was my birthday, I could eat all
crusty.
Of the
crusty. You like the crusties?
I love the crust. Yeah,
yeah,
so.
I like
the crusties. It was my birthday too.
Well, I thought this was my pizza though. We had a cake for you last week.
And we sang.
It's unbelievably hostile of you not to share the crusties.
I know. I didn't know that everyone.
I like the burned crusties.
That's the best part. So
how do you know Dean's mom doesn't like crusties?
Yeah.
She can't chew the crusties anymore.
Okay.
You'd have to soak them in milk for a little
poor
while.
Poor thing.
But I have had a lot of pizza this morning, so I'm pretty much checked out for the rest of the day, just so you know.
Yeah. All right.
I'm a little late to the pizza game, and the cleaning woman, Sophia, actually prank me in the hall.
Which is so great. I love
she's
this.
The best. We love Sophia.
Sophia's just an unbelievably sweet woman, and she goes to Kuzanich and goes, the pizza's all gone.
Good for her. I love her.
I thought she was, I'm like, no.
That's fantastic.
She rules. That. We have to get her into the whole fracas, too. By the way, here you go. Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sports.
And while you open that, we only have time for one verse, but this is for Mary Vandeveld, Dean's mom, and Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. Happy birthday to you. All right, Dean, let's talk show business.
We didn't want to pay the licensing on the rest of the song.
Just so you know, I did get the Hooters gift card.
Yeah, I had to dig it out of my purse. Woo-hoo. I was coveting it for one whole week.
Yeah, you only got it for a week, huh?
Vandeveld did some damage on that last week, by the way.
I almost used it.
Yeah, we were going to go
last year, but didn't.
They have some delicious pizza birthday wings there.
Birthday wings, yeah.
No doubt about it, yeah.
We'll have to take Dave, and Dave can cut them off with a fork and knife.
Yeah, which would be great. You know, and if any of the crusties fall in the cleavage, they're easy to find.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. That's all you need to look for.
All right, we have new details about the Kardashian robbery.
They have some details about who committed the crime of the century. As we now didn't we say that these guys?
I am a dastardly bandit.
Didn't we say that they escaped on their bicycles?
On their bicycles.
Because what the French police are now saying is that the perpetrators were between the ages of 54 to 72. Now,
what?
Not that you can't ride a bicycle at that age. But
what, is this a senior tour of burglars or what?
They're in Europe. They're expert bike riders.
They were reportedly very well known to the police. And one of their sons, who I'm guessing was like 49, was waiting outside in a getaway car. So what's up with the bicycle story that we got when all this was going on?
Well, it makes sense that they would have been on bikes, though, because if you're between 54 and 72 and the police can't catch you, that's a bad police force.
That's true. And if you're trying to get in the car, it's like, wait a minute. Oh, you know, to like work your way into a car.
Right, and making
position.
The noises, like you go, hey, Phil, quiet.
I don't want to sit on the hump.
I can't get in a car.
I'm not sitting on the hump. You sit on the hump.
Phil, you are the hump.
So 14 of them remain in custody. Several of them, including the limo driver who they were first suspecting, has been released. But 54 to 72.
Let's go to another large derriere story, Jennifer Lopez and Drake.
Okay, so they have been dating, Steve, exactly 1 month. 1 month to the day.
Boy, there's nothing like young love.
Is when 30-year-old Drake met 47-year-old Jennifer Lopez.
Cougar.
Wow.
Over the weekend, he gave her...
You know, Drake's Canadian.
He is.
Yeah.
He is very Canadian. Extremely Canadian.
I got nothing other than that.
Yahey. He gave her a gift of a $100,000 platinum and 16-carat diamond Tiffany necklace.
For her birthday?
No occasion. Just
their one-month anniversary.
No occasion.
And then she went, yeah, I could have bought this myself. Don't buy me jewelry.
Canadians are very nice. Canadians are very nice.
You know, a $100,000 necklace in Canadian is actually $1,250. well, that's sweet. I hope they have several more months together before they break
sure
off.
Sure, it's a real true love this time for
no question.
For the both of them.
Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris, is upset.
She's upset because, have you heard about this new TV movie called Urban Myths? It's the alleged story of when Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando all went on a road trip in a car right after 9/11.
And don't they have a white guy playing Michael Jackson?
They have a British white guy, actor by the name of Joseph Fiennes.
It's just ridiculous.
Who is Michael
Jackson. I mean,
I
know Michael Jackson was white, but come on.
It looks like if you're going as Michael Jackson, if you or I were going as Michael Jackson for Halloween, that's what he looks like in the trailer that's out right now. So Paris Jackson saw the trailer that came out yesterday and said, I'm so incredibly offended by it, as I'm sure plenty of people are as well. It makes me want to vomit. It angers me to see how obviously intentional it was for them to be insulting, not just toward my father, but my godmother, Liz, as well. Where is the respect? They worked through blood, sweat, and tears for ages to create such profound and remarkable legacies. Shameful portrayal.
Did you see the picture, too?
It looks ridiculous.
It looks like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, it looks really like ridiculous.
Like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, it's just dumb. By the way, Tito is in the movie, and he's being played by my Aunt Mildred.
So I got to say, wouldn't have been my first choice for the role, but she knocks it out of the park.
There's no question.
There is some Oscar buzz on that.
So last night, I was trying to get to sleep. I was minding my own business. I wasn't hurting anybody. And I kick on Match Game. That's an entertaining show.
It is. I've watched it, too, with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Who says he's taking his Donald Trump, by the way, out on the road. He doesn't say what in other venues. But he's
like a song and dance act?
He's going to be taking his Donald Trump.
I'm killing America, America, America.
He's holding a news conference later today, I heard.
Alec Baldwin as Trump?
The amount of money they win, though, is embarrassingly low.
On Match Game?
It's like $200. Yeah, it's not really like...
It's $1,000, $2,000, and $5,000.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Well, in the old match game in the 70s, it was $4 in cab fare.
Oh, I didn't know there was
spoiled.
A remake.
We're spoiled by Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that and other things. Have you seen that show where they drop balls? It's not about old guys.
Oh, my God. I love that show. I love that
What's
joke.
What's it called? The pit? The ball? The
Moneyball or something?
What's the wall?
The wall, that's it.
The wall is where you take the balls and you drop them. But he actually shoots them from the ground, and then they go like through some tunnel or some tunnel underneath, and they come up, and then they... It's like playing, remember...
Pachinko.
Pachinko. Yeah.
Plunko.
Pachinko.
It's an entertaining show. It's stupid, but it's an entertaining show.
I just like that you said ball so many times.
Yeah. Balls
it's
dropping.
Better to have the green. You don't want the red ones.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Carpenters are in the news.
Are we going to finish the song?
Oh, I'm wondering where that was
you
going.
You guys were just breaking out the song.
Me too.
Yeah.
Richard Carpenter, Karen's brother.
Dick Carpenter. Yeah, we know Dick.
Piano player.
Yeah.
Is suing two music companies, saying that they have shut him and the estate of his late sister out of the profits they were due for iTunes and other online sales distribution.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That to the tune of $2 million.
Yeah, well, he should sue. I'm not a big fan of suing, but he should sue.
Don't you remember you told me?
Yeah, I remember. And finally, Michelle Obama on with Jimmy Fallon last night. She was very entertaining.
Very entertaining. They did something real cute where they had people come in and talk to a portrait of Michelle Obama to tell her, tell the portrait what they thought of her.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, these people pouring out their hearts about how much they like. And then Michelle Obama comes out from around the curtain. Very, very sweet. They played, of course, it wouldn't be Jimmy Fallon show if they didn't play a game. They played a game with Jerry Seinfeld and Dave Chappelle. But also Michelle Obama did that, writing the thank you notes like
yep.
Jimmy Fallon does, and it sounded something like this.
Thank you, Barack, for proving you're not a lame duck, but my very own silver fox.
Thank you, Mrs. Obama, for being a strong, smart, independent woman, an activist, a style icon, and a great dancer, and showing us all what it would look like if Beyonce married a much nerdier Jay-Z. There you go.
That's my boo.
My boo.
That's funny.
Mom jeans and all.
You got rid of those jeans, right?
The jeans are gone.
You got rid of the jeans.
That's funny.
You made sure those jeans were gone. And then Stevie Wonder was on the show last night also, and he sang Isn't She Lovely and My Sharia Moore to Michelle.
I don't believe that happened. It's all fake.
Michelle could
it's
do,
all fake. Never happened.
Michelle could do stand-up comedy. Did you guys see the short with Michelle and Barack Obama and Joe Biden
she's
and
very funny.
Boehner? Oh, God.
They're both are. They're both
are. So funny.
Thanks, Dean. And you'll be on tomorrow for
Looking
me.
Forward to doing the entire show tomorrow. I'm going to do my best to get the news on. Let's see, we're 5 minutes late right now. I'm going for 6-7 minutes late on the news tomorrow.
Well, good luck. I mean, a boy in his dream.
I'm here for you, Dean.
Got to have my goal.
If you guys name me about this time tomorrow, I'll be on the second or third hole of Stream Song Resort in Florida.
Okay.
So call me anytime.
We'll do.
All right, see ya. We're back after this with a big story.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
They're hot, kids. They are hot. Your Blackhawks are hot, and Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank, and our friend Brian Campbell joins us now. Are you out on the ice skating rink that we call the Highways of Chicago?
Yeah, I could skate downtown today.
Probably be faster.
But yeah, the roads aren't too bad, so that's a good thing.
Do you coming from Canada, where summer lasts 15 minutes, certainly you get used to driving in bad weather. But you've been in Chicago long enough; it always amazes me, and I love this town. You know that, but it always amazes me how people forget how to drive every winter.
Yeah, or when it rains out, everybody changes too.
Yeah, I know. It's just gas pedal, brake. Gas pedal, brake. I mean, the car still runs the same way. So,
I don't know. Hey, you guys are hot. You're feeling good. The team is relatively healthy. When you're not getting a perfect night from the goaltender, you're scoring a bunch of goals. It feels good, right?
Yeah, we're starting to play better. I think we're starting to kind of get our identity going a little bit more and getting our everybody contributing. And it's been good. We had a good homestand there. You always want to take advantage of your homestand. So now we got a couple tough games coming up here with Washington and Minnesota. So big games for us. You know, obviously the Minnesota game's big, but Washington is no slouch, that's for sure.
One of the, you know, with the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with the Blackhawk, we always take a question from a listener. This is from John Youngren for you, Soup. And it reminds me of Washington because maybe the worst injury you've had as a player is when the dirty commie Alex Ovechkin slammed your head into the boards a few years ago. What's the hardest part of coming back to a game after an injury? And do you get afraid of re-injuring yourself, or do you just have to play like it never happened?
You know, I think sometimes it depends. I think it's always in the back of your head a little bit, the first game coming back from injuries. You know, you obviously don't want to get hurt again. You're a little tentative. That's for sure. Conditioning-wise, you're fine because usually you're skating extra and doing that. But I definitely think you do have a little bit of timing issues, and you are a little tentative out there with that injury. You almost need to get hit just to make sure. And you're like, okay, I know I'm all right with whatever kind of injury you're coming back from. So, you know, hopefully, definitely a little bit timid, but you try and put it out of your mind a little bit.
You know, Steve mentioned the goalies. And as a D-man, how much fun is it to play in front of guys like Scott Darling and also Corey Crawford?
Well, you know, I think they cover up some mistakes quite often. So they're very good at that. So I think it's exciting, you know, for us. You know, we always know that we have them to help us out. And they're also pretty good at playing the puck as well. So that kind of helps for defensemen. You know, moving the puck, getting it out of our zone. So, you know, that's one thing we can't complain about is our goaltending this year. It's been great every night, and they're a good tandem.
Well, Crawford's gotten way better at playing the puck because it wasn't that long ago when Crawford would play the puck or leave the net. You'd go, don't leave the net, don't leave the net, don't leave the net! So I assume he's working on it a lot.
Yeah, I think confidence, too, is, you know, with that comes some confidence, but yeah, he's great at handling it. I know last game he wasn't happy with himself. He kind of handled it, made a bad play, but obviously he recovered like he always does. But, yeah, it just helps for defensemen knowing that he can move the puck quick and we kind of go for our outlets and let him, you know, make the decision from there. And it's kind of like having an extra D-man there behind the net.
Brian, hey, I'm just curious. Does your wife and your kids, your family, do they come to a lot of the home games, or is it more of a they just watch on TV and then when daddy comes home, or are you kind of, you know, not at that cool phase? They're not really fazed by what you do.
Yeah, I'm not. They really don't care about their dad.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, mine are a little younger, so you know we have them to bed pretty early, so. You know, sometimes they'll come for, like, the Sunday games at 6 o'clock and watch a period and then usually go home. They're not too interested. They're more interested in going downstairs and playing with the other kids in the family room than watching the hockey. But it's kind of funny. You know, my wife will send me videos and the game starts at home and our one-year-old, you know, she'll walk around and say, Daddy, hockey. So, or she sees a Blackhawks emblem. She always says that. So, you know, it's fun with that. But they try to come to the odd game, but we don't have too many early games on our schedule for them. So they don't make it to too many.
Do they understand they can't come down and skate with you?
Yeah, they do understand that. We got my three-and-a-half-year-old out the other day, and she was, I think we're going to have to wait another 6 months to get her out there. She wasn't too excited about being on the ice.
Yeah, so it doesn't just grow on trees. You got to work on it.
Yeah, you got to discipline them and make sure you really force it.
Right.
We took my god kids.
Stop crying, skate.
Yeah, we took my god kids to the Winter Wonderfest. I think I told Brian this, and my 5-year-old godson was on skates for the first time. He loved it. So Panarin walked by. I said, "Hey, yell, go bread, man." And he looked over. You know, he's still on the ice. He's hanging onto the side. He says, "Go bread."
Right. Well, it's close.
Yeah.
Hey, before I let you go, I don't know if Ovechkin's a trash talker at all, but with Washington coming in and with having a little bit of history, is there any chance you could get Panarin to curse at him in his native tongue?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know how well they know each other, but or at least I could pick up some. Maybe I'll pick up some words today on the plane. Ask him a few words that I can be yelling out around there. So,
yeah, because Panarin, when Panarin was in here, he taught us how to say the F word.
He also
in
taught
Russian.
Us how to say. We were talking about my pillow.
Yeah,
my pachuska. That was his pillow. He taught us.
You sure that wasn't the other word?
Well, I don't know.
Because if it was, we're in trouble.
Sorry,
there's going to be a meeting in the Kremlin. All right, buddy. I know you're going to work. Enjoy the trip to Washington. Keep this roll going and stay healthy.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
See you, bud. Thanks. Coming up, CLTV will join the party here in just a second. And tomorrow, Dean Richards, as I said, is in for me. But every morning, the 9 o'clock hour is simulcast on CLTV. And you can tune in and answer the age-old question, hey, Steve, what are you wearing? Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You are fake news.
On Chicago's very own.
Don't be rude.
720 WGN.
It's all fake news. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it. I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. Sick people. And they put that crap together. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also very much of a germaphobe, by the way. Believe me. I have no loans with Russia at all. If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability. You know, the only one that cares about my tax returns are the reporters, okay?
You don't think the American public is concerned about
it? No, I don't think so. I won. Repeal and replace. It will be essentially simultaneously. I will be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created. On the fence. It's not a fence, it's a wall. You just misreported it. You're going to have a very, very elegant day. The 20th is going to be something that will be very, very special, very beautiful. And I think we're going to have massive crowds.
Can you stay categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you stay categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not
go
appropriate.
Ahead.
One lesson you might want to make a note of, kids, and that is this. Don't anger the people who are investigating you or the people that are protecting you. And when you call the media out and claim they're fake news and mock them, you create an incentive for the media to come after you harder than ever. When you bring up the word Nazi with the people that are protecting America, you cause them to have no confidence in you, no respect for you as a leader, and you don't even have the job officially yet.
Right.
Bad day, bad press conference. Grow up, Mr. President-elect.
By the way, we were getting some emails, too. The applause that you heard in the room was not from fellow reporters. We pointed this out yesterday. It was some of the Trump supporters,
paid.
Some of his staff, his aides.
But they hired people.
They were lined up, but it wasn't the reporters cheering.
No. Paid people. This is amazing to me because in the first Trump press conference when he said the Mexicans are rapists, remember that speech?
I do remember that speech.
He had paid people there. They hired people to applaud. Okay? It's factual. You can look it up. It's not fake news.
It's not fake news.
It's factual. Yesterday, the Trump campaign hired people to applaud.
I believe that.
Well,
I believe that.
It's factual.
And most of the people on the side were staffers.
Yes. And the stack of documents at the front, normally at a press conference, and you can back me up on this, if there is a point to be made by the people holding the press conference, they will hand out handouts.
Right.
And the handouts will be given out, and it basically is a summary of whatever message you're trying to get across.
Yeah, like a press release.
So there's stacks of documents at the front, and the stacks of documents were thought to be handed out to the reporters as an explanation of how he was going to divest himself of his assets in his own company. As it turns out, none of the reporters were allowed to look at the documents.
it was all a show. And reporters sitting up front said it looked like there weren't any words on the paper.
Yeah, that to me. Well, didn't you find it odd, too, when he first started and we were waiting for it to start and we saw all those documents up there? That's what I thought it was, too, handouts. I thought, who still is using file folders like that for all of these multi-gazillion dollar deals?
And one final scratch your head moment. There was a woman who spoke who is from a famous law firm in Washington who has been Trump's lawyer for a long time. And she talked about how he would handle his conflict of interest issues.
Mm-hmm. Sherry Dillon.
That law firm, I mean, you can't make this up.
No, you can't.
That law firm last year was named by the Russian government as Russian Law Firm of the Year for the interest that they have in Russia, for the representation they do for Russian companies.
Again, truth.
It's all fact. You can't make it up. I don't know. What do you get for Russian Law Firm of the Year? Like a case of vodka?
A bunch of Stoli.
Yeah. Yeah. A picture of Boris Badenov and Natasha. I don't know what you get. Anyway, moving on, because I will have to just throw up in my mouth a little bit. How about this story? A 79-year-old great-grandmother. What do you think a 79-year-old great-grandmother does with the majority of her time? Probably
Watches the grandkids. Dotes on her grandkids.
Dotes on the grandkids. Probably bakes.
Travels.
Travels. Bakes terrific cookies.
79. It's the new 59.
But,
yeah, she's very active.
Of course.
But, and she's always having a good time, and she's loving, and she's caring. She has a hobby.
Yeah, here it comes.
Crafts?
39 convictions for shoplifting.
Oh.
What?
June Humphrey, 79, just racked up number 39, said she's going for 50.
Oh, look at her go. It's good to have a goal.
50 convictions for shoplifting is what she's looking for. When asked why she had taken the most recent stuff that she pilfered in December, she said, I don't know why. I get bored. I don't really get anything out of it. I just wanted to get out of my town.
She has to have stuff to show for show and tell at the ARP meetings, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could play bingo, but that's not as much fun as trying to steal stuff and get away with it. Her probation officer had previously told the judges that she was lonely. She lived by herself, and she was only in contact with one of her seven kids. Well, probably because the other six would go, Mom, stop stealing stuff.
Mom's a felon.
She admitted two counts of theft in her last court appearance. In sentencing, they said, you have got quite a prolific history from the last few years, but it's difficult to know how to deal with it, so we're going to fine you. I would say fine her and maybe ban her from the mall.
Right? Mm. Does it say what she was stealing?
Junk.
All just junk.
Knickknacks.
Knickknacks.
Who's it's?
Just reminds me
of this stuff and that stuff.
Well, I don't know if it was, hooch or if she's stealing, cigarettes, things like that. Just little knickknacks.
My grandmother stole a few things.
Did she?
Including my childhood. but she stole a few things, and she actually ended up in court at one point.
Big ticket type things or a grape?
Shoplifting.
Okay.
Wasn't a grape. Maybe a bunch of grapes. But she blamed it on the medicine she was on.
Oh, mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Uncle Leo in the Seinfeld episode at the bookstore.
Did he steal something?
Yeah,
I forgot that episode.
He stole a book. And he goes, I'm confused. I'm an old man.
Item number two in our three things, which we do occasionally here on the show. Experts have a new study out on what's good for you and bad for you. I so wish Dave Ennett was sitting here.
Is this liquor?
Kale, coconuts, and avocados could be bad for you.
Oh, yes.
I knew it.
I love avocados.
Yeah, me too. If
you have trouble focusing, you're exhausted, you're in an all-around mental funk. Quote from Dr. Kogan, not Rick Kogan.
Be clear on that.
People will come in with very nonspecific symptoms. They feel moody. They have depression. They have difficulty falling asleep. They found that copper is increasingly the culprit, and copper is an essential element in shellfish, kale, cashews, chickpeas, avocados, coconuts.
Aren't you not allowed to have kale anyway? It's bad for
you. Well, there's
something?
A thing called vitamin K. that comes from leafy greens that can lead to clotting. I have a thing which could, I'm predisposed to blood clots. That's why my head is this size.
Plus, if you're on Coumadin, you're not supposed to have any leafy greens.
Right.
Spinach.
For vitamin K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, you should just have chocolate and muffins.
You should have chocolate, muffins, and pizza.
And wine.
Bacon.
Yeah, and bacon.
Wine.
Yeah, and wine. Yeah.
Wine is good for you. I mean, I was going to give that up, but then everybody was telling me all the positives about it.
Oh, yeah, red wine. It's good for your heart.
There you go. See, your blood pressure, your heart.
Oh, yeah. In moderation.
Oh, well, yeah, that too, right?
I always have a glass after boot camp.
The best way to determine moderation is where you wake up.
And how many times you hit snooze.
And then finally this. A hole has emerged on the surface of the sun, which is blasting solar winds in the direction of Earth.
Hmm.
Magnetic field lines travel from the interior of the sun to the surface. However, when a giant hole appears in the sun, which happens sporadically, the magnetically held lines can stretch out into space in the form of solar winds. NASA has a video on Instagram now. It is said to really screw up cellular transmissions and certain things related to, communication.
Maybe that's the problem you were having when you were texting me the other night.
When I texted you at home as opposed to your cell phone?
Yeah.
I was trying. You're right. I texted your cell phone, but it bounced to your home phone.
It bounced to my home phone.
Yeah, the cool thing about this is they're seeing auroras now almost 24 hours a day in some northern locations.
In aurora?
Yeah. No, up north.
Oh. Aurora borealis.
In the hinterlands.
What is an aurora?
The northern lights.
Explain what an aurora is.
It is when the magnetic magnetic rays or whatever hits the atmosphere and comes into the atmosphere.
Oh, and you get the pretty colors?
The green, the greens, and the purples, and the... Yeah.
I've never seen that. Is it as cool as it sounds?
It is very cool.
I want to go see that within the next few months, within the next 2 months or so, because it only is through, I think, early April, right, Steve? I mean, that's
generally,
to see it, September through April.
Yeah, but in some of the Laplands and the Nordic countries, they're seeing them now 24 hours a day because of this hole in the sun.
That's the Amsterdam Festival of Lights. You've got to.
I think they're seeing stuff because of other reasons at the Amsterdam Festival.
Perhaps.
By the way, the solar winds can heat the Earth's outer core. I guess it wouldn't be the core if it's the outer part of the Earth, would it? They can also affect satellites in orbit, affecting GPS navigation, planes' ability to travel and land in the right places.
Oh, no.
Satellite television and a surge of particles can lead to high currents in the magnetosphere. I was in a band called Magnetosphere, which can lead to higher than normal electricity and power lines, resulting in electric transformers and power station blowouts, fires, and a loss of power.
And there, now you know.
Isn't it a great time to be alive?
There's a hole in the sun.
There's
your three things. It is 9:22. Thanks for watching SEAL TV and listening to 720 WGN. Walter Jacobson standing by. Here's Perspective, sponsored by TheHearingHealthCenter.com.
So now that we've seen and heard our president-elect at a news conference, the first one he's held in 5.5 months, finally we can say for sure that Donald Trump is not about to change his M.O. He'll not stop his personal attacks or his unpresidential juvenile rants, like saying the Democrat leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, is a clown, that Arnold Schwarzenegger bombed in his debut on The Apprentice on TV, and that Meryl Streep is an overrated actress who's a Hillary Clinton flunky. Such silly rants. Maybe so, but don't worry about it, say his advisors and the talking heads on TV. Donald Trump knows when he's being juvenile and silly, and you'll see next week when he's in the Oval Office, he'll grow up. He'll cease picking on and egging on the media. But this week, every indication is that he won't or cannot grow up. Disagree with Donald Trump, challenge his assertions, or for whatever reason, rub him the wrong way, and you have to hold your ears to his anger. Close your eyes to his headlines. Cross your fingers against the damage he does. This week, just 1 week from the presidency, the whole world, with good reason, is crossing fingers.
I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNplus.com.
9:26, Bridget Ganner from the Cook County Board will be in here in a little bit. We love Bridget. Before we go any further, we need to help our friend Annie Mazur.
Wait, in what way?
There's too many ways to count, probably.
Annie Mazur, hardest working man in the sports business. Is going to Milwaukee tonight, do a game, coming back here tomorrow, do the morning show with me tomorrow.
Yep.
But I don't know if you know this, Andrea. Andy is what we refer to in the business as a freelancer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And as a freelancer, he has certain pressures that those of us who work for the man don't have.
And when I say the man, I mean Larry Wirt.
Yeah.
He is the man.
And those pressures include, in this crazy time, insurance.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Because Andy's not a young man anymore. And
he's not.
Tremendous health issues. I mean, look at him. He's a wreck. Right.
Some days. We all are. Got
bad knees, bad hips.
Gout, Ebola. You got a little bit. You got a touch of the leprosy.
He's still trying to find a date. I wouldn't push the leprosy.
Well, it's funny you say date. Because what we would like to do, and we don't have a lot of time for this, so make your solicits fast. And I would encourage you, if you're not a Jewish mother or Jewish grandmother, maybe go that route right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Because what we're looking for is someone who's willing to marry Andy for the insurance.
For the insurance.
Yes.
Oh, you want to marry rich. Well,
I'm marrying for a blue card.
Oh, no. Good insurance. Not even well.
Just for the blue card.
Anybody that's got insurance.
Insurance.
Yeah. Any female.
I'm not asking for much.
I know a couple of people.
Let's talk about some pressures here. You're not going to insist on a sexual relationship.
Well, no. I just need the insurance.
Right.
But that would be nice.
Well, I mean, if it works out, it works out. Bonus. That's between you and your wife.
If there's no deductible.
Yeah. But it could kill him.
Why is it always got to come down to that? Yeah, the deductible.
Is there a copay on that?
Yeah. In addition to that, you are more than willing to pay your fair share.
Yeah.
You don't even have to live with this person.
No.
No. So you're really just
saying. Independent.
You're really just saying, throw me a bone.
Exactly.
Throw me a major medical bone.
Let's get it on paper. And get me on that insurance plan, and it's all good.
And this wouldn't be illegal on any level, right?
Oh, sure.
This is not illegal on any level.
No, it's complete insurance.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Thank goodness my parents are in Florida.
Who is willing to marry Andy and give him health insurance?
Yes, that's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I do know some people.
Yeah.
I don't know if they want to marry. I think they want to date first. But
see, that's the problem, you know, because there's very few people that are going to take that chance.
What, a chance at love?
Well, not the love thing. It's just more just advancing quickly to the marriage so that
Let's what do you bring to the marriage?
Not much. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be really honest with you.
Wait, do you have a pre-existing condition?
Shh.
Have you met him?
Don't divulge that.
Quiet, my God, have you met him?
Come on.
He is a pre-existing condition.
Don't divulge that.
All right, let's ask us. Are you fun on a Friday night?
I'm extremely fun on a Friday night.
Okay. Except tonight or tomorrow.
Except for tonight, right? Because I'll be.
Yeah. Can I ask? Do you have a nice car?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, from when I was making some money,
Nice car.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask. Can you cook and do you dust?
Define cooking.
Nothing. Something without a microwave.
Does it come in a can? Yes.
Can you make anything from scratch?
Yes. Only one thing.
What is it?
It's like my mom's recipe for chili.
I thought you were going to say toast.
Oh, chili's fine.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Do you mind if your wife is gassy?
No. Okay. It's pretty much the only thing I know how to make, so it's going to be on the table quite a bit.
Okay.
His sense of smell is gone anyway.
Yeah.
Stop saying all this.
Pre-existing conditions. Come on.
We want to get him insurance.
Let me see. What else do we need to know? I mean, come on, Mary, Andrea, step up. You're the women.
Well,
I asked all the superficial stuff.
Yeah. He's good looking.
Yeah, he's okay now. Now he's, glasses are part of the deal now.
He's got a nice car.
Would you be willing not to criticize her family? And show up at family events.
Well, yeah.
This is actually good for a woman who's being hassled about not being married and she needs a story to tell.
It's like that. I think it's like one of those old commercials for a rental car agency. You know, the one that picks you up. The girl was trying to.
You want your wife to work at Enterprise?
No, right. I'm just saying. The girl was trying to, show the family that she had a date so that a dude showed up. And,
Yeah.
What about the remote? Will you let her have the remote?
Well, it's not good.
It depends on what we're going to watch.
Yeah.
They might not even live together.
And
so
you only have to be at the house occasionally.
Yeah.
What if she has a dog or a cat? Would you walk and water?
Dog, yeah. Cat,
okay.
How about, does she have to be Jewish?
You know, insurance is insurance at this particular point.
Okay, got it. Because I know that was important for a while. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And you're more than willing to grant her a divorce as soon as you get your own insurance.
Correct.
Okay.
Quickie. Whatever.
I think you're a hell of a catch.
I think this is a win-win.
I think you're a catch, too. Yeah.
And by the way, you're going to pay your half of the premium.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can marry him quick.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I can do the wedding.
Wait. His half of the premium, shouldn't he pay the whole thing?
There's a service and handling fee.
Yeah, but it'll be half of what I'm paying now.
All right. That'll work.
Yeah. So I think this is a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're right. I think this is a good thing.
I could marry you. We're friends. We've known each other a long time. We don't have to live together.
Yeah. Would you be willing to do that? Because I could literally marry you right now.
Let's do it. I'll be the maid of honor.
You'd have to ask my mom, though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, going through her, she's pretty traditional. Yeah, my mom loves you, so that would be a problem.
I think she'd be happy.
What's that?
You like Greek food?
I can learn to like Greek food, yeah.
How about the Greek families?
You marry Andre, you better like Greek food.
Oh, yeah. My family loves you. Yeah. Good, in fact, Andy dated one of my cousins a long time ago in college.
What happened there?
I don't know. I think it might have been my poor attempt at growing a mustache at 18.
So you think it was you?
But they're still good friends. So, see, Andy is someone who you'll stay friends with for a long time.
All right, texters, lines are open if you'd like to marry Andy. 312-981-7200.
And again, hopefully this is not for an extended period of time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's see. Margaret on the single in the single wide in Carbondale said she'll marry you.
Okay.
Somebody else says, how old are you?
I'm going to hit the magic 5-0 coming up here in a few months.
Right, but you can play 49.
I can act, 42, 40.
I could easily say you look like you're probably late 30s, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say? You look like you're about 40 years old.
Oh, this is an interesting question. Does it have to be a her?
I prefer it, yes.
But insurance is insurance.
Insurance is insurance.
Yeah. Oh, now that opens up. I know a bunch of single
guys. Well, here we go. I have SIU insurance.
How about Mark Kerman?
I have SIU insurance. I'll marry his booty.
I'll marry his what?
I'll marry his booty. Is that Yiddish? Woo-hoo! We're back after this with a big story on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:45 now. The commish is here. Bridget Gaynor, how are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
And, you know, you're one of our favorite guests. Have we determined, is Bridget our favorite guest? I'm being told you're our favorite guest.
I kind of love that's why I got to get in studio this time. That, like, you got me a trial and then...
Yeah, you've risen to the level of number one.
All right.
It's a lot of pressure.
Okay. Well, yeah. I feel bad for Pat Brady, but it'll be okay.
No, don't feel bad for him. He's on all the time.
Yeah. And you know where he is today?
No.
He's in Vail skiing with his daughter.
Oh. Yeah, and she kicked his booty, too, kicked on the slopes.
Butt. Yeah, kicked his butt, kicked his butt. How is your family?
They're great. They're doing real good.
All out of jail?
Early. Yeah, it's good. It's the morning, so we got the whole day ahead of us. But for now, it's all going good.
Hey, let's talk about the Utes. Let's talk about the Utes for a second, because as part of the deal of being commissioner, Cook County Commissioner in the 10th, one of the great companies that you're aware of, and I'm a fan of, is Aon.
Yep.
And Aon's got an apprenticeship program that we ought to be plugging.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that we hear college is really expensive, kids graduating with a ton of debt, they graduate, they don't really have a job. And you look back and you think, you know, for most of our history, people went to a job, they worked, they learned on the job, and then they took it from there. And college started to take over all of that. And now we're kind of looking for a new way to bring people back into the workforce. So just on Monday, Aon had 25 young people between 18 and 22, really diverse group of young people from Chicago who are working at the company 4 days a week and then going to Harold Washington College to take classes to supplement what they're doing.
There's some great stat that shows more students who do this, who shadow or intern, get hired by the company than hiring from the outside. So it's a great stepping block.
Right. And these are career jobs. These aren't like a 2-year job and then it's an internship and it ends. The idea is you're going to stay with the company for a long time, because when they, you know, one of the things that companies are measuring more now is not just your performance, but how engaged you are. Are you actually, because you do a better job. They find that when young people come in as apprentices, they're much more engaged, higher scores going forward. And that the reason that they were able to kind of push this with the employers and the managers and get them excited about it is young people tend to leave jobs sooner. The turnover rate was really high.
Sure.
And they've seen that with the apprentice program, kids don't leave as often. So,
well, and the value of taking somebody that's young and training them in a skill that benefits your company is endless.
Great.
It's kind of the new way to look at internships going forward, because, you know, there was court rulings that interns have to be paid. Not a great idea, by the way, but that's another argument. But these internships that are paid now, if you're going to pay interns, you shouldn't be paying them to get you coffee. You should be paying them to teach them what you're doing.
Right, and to actually work hard enough to find a real job for them. And this is, to us, this is just a new way into a career track job without a kid having to take on a ton of debt before they even know what they want to do. They might as well start early.
All right, enough good news. Let's talk about what the state's doing to you. What is the shape of Cook County in regards to no budget in the state?
You know, so look, Cook County oversees the public, you know, the jails, the court system, all that stuff. And a ton of it is funded, including the public hospital, by the state. So if you don't get Medicaid payments, how do you continue to run a hospital? And so without the budget, it's kicked that stuff down the can. Now, you can do it for a while, but at some point there's things you have to stop doing. And, you know, preventive care, some of the things that we do, clinics out in the neighborhoods, the stuff that is actually cheaper and more efficient to run that way isn't happening. And so it's a problem for everybody. The county takes a bigger hit because we have so many things that are tied to the state budget.
What is the ability to pressure state politicians to move the ball here?
You know, I don't think it's all the politicians. I think if you look at all those guys that were sworn in the other day in the General Assembly, the vast majority of them want to have a budget. It's just that we, you know, there's an impasse at the top, and it, the rest of everybody else seems to be pretty much held hostage.
I haven't made it clear how I feel about this.
Tell us how you feel about
yes, it. Yes, but I believe Mike Madigan is the problem. I believe that those who have supported reps who support Mike Madigan need to look at that support, because if you've been at a job for 40 years and you are a leader in that job, you're one of the top managers in the company, in this case the company being the state of Illinois, and the company is effed, then you have to do something about it, and you have to look at the management structure.
Well, look, it's kind of like the elections that we just saw in Congress. You know, the Democrats took a drubbing and then reelected the same leadership
right.
that had gotten them there. Right. And it's, you know, at some point...
House of Mirrors.
What?
It's a yes. House of Mirrors.
Well, I remember in 94, you know, the Democrats got shellacked and Gephardt stepped down because he said, you know, I'm not the one to lead you forward. So... I don't know what the solution is because I'm not down there, but it's not good.
What do you think about term limits, or maybe more specifically, term limits for leadership?
You know, term limits are tricky. I've seen other states. Missouri has term limits. Florida has term limits. And what you get is you trade one set of problems for the other, because you all of a sudden the guys who raise the money and lobby become the most powerful part of the equation. And then you have got that to complain. You know, it's like elected judges versus appointed judges. You could come up with a pro and con list for both of them. You know, it certainly looks like we need to do something differently. Whether that's the sledgehammer answer, who knows?
But going forward in the county, for county mm-hmm. residents who are worried about property taxes and yeah. worried about schools and worried about all of that, when do we get to the breaking point?
Pretty soon, you know, because the public hospital is something that a lot of people are fortunate enough not to have to rely on because they have insurance and other things like that. But it serves the health of the entire county. And if you can't operate that as a going concern, it's a big problem. I, you know, we're all running on reserves, whether it's debt or anything else. But, you know, I think this year is going to be the breaking point. Plus, it's the election. It's going to push all that stuff to the fore.
We won't see any more property tax hikes, do you think, will we?
No, and certainly not from the county. And okay. I think the city is done with that as well.
Okay. I'm a City of Chicago resident. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, right? And so, I mean, we get kind of double socked there.
Yeah.
I think you guys should be taxed more. Can you hang around for another segment?
Yeah,
because I don't know if you know, you're our number one guest. It's
9:51. Comes with a lot of responsibility.
It does, yeah, it does, yeah. We'll come back more from CLTV and 720 WGN. Bridget Gaynor's here, America's number one guest and Cook County Commissioner. When did you know you wanted to get into politics?
You know, I've
Are you
always,
still deciding?
No, I've always loved politics. You know, I think I read Boss in the library when I was in sixth grade.
Really?
And I thought, yeah, I think these people are onto something.
When you were a little kid, like, did you follow what the mayor was up to and stuff like that? Were you a city rep?
Yeah. Southwest Side. It was Daley, you know, Mayor Daley first, yeah. and then Byrne, yeah. you know, the whole shebang. Yeah, kind of. But it was, you know, you followed it just because it was the course. It was like drinking the water. You know, everyone talked about it.
Right.
But I always loved politics, presidential politics, international politics. You know, I mean, my parents subscribed to Time magazine. And I always remember, you know, every time it came, I'd go cover to cover. And I just always liked that stuff.
It's something we need to get more people into mm-hmm. without the cynicism and the belief yep. that nothing can change.
Well, and I actually think that the election of Donald Trump has made people think I should get into politics myself. And I'm a big fan of getting people into local politics, because a lot of people like to focus on, you know, Senate and the national stuff. And that's all good and well. But you can have such an impact when you are on your school board or the county board
Absolutely.
Or an alderman. Because then, look, the further you get away from the people that you actually work for, the easier it is to not see what you're... You forget who you work for.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I live in the neighborhood. I see people all the time. This stuff is right there. And so I don't get to, like, have a different idea about what's important, because the people I'm working for, I see every day.
And I assume, because one of the great things about people in Chicago, they tell you what they're thinking.
They do tell me what I'm
But when they come up to you, I mean, what are they happy about? What are they not happy about?
You know, taxes obviously come up a lot. Pensions come up a lot, because I think it's hard to understand, and people think, you know, if you have a pension and you're worried about it, you think you're getting screwed. And if you don't have a pension and you're paying the taxes, you think you're getting screwed. So
right.
nobody, you know, there's no good outcome for that. And the explanation takes, you know, you have to involve three actuaries, and then, you know, 2 hours later, everyone's eyes are glazed over.
Right.
So it's taxes. It's that. It's the schools. And you know what I hear more about now is the violence. People who never used to talk about stuff, you know, they're kind of going about their everyday and they're not thinking about stuff that doesn't happen in their day-to-day life. And the general thought is like, what the heck's going on here?
Right.
What where does this end naturally?
And why can't it be stopped?
And why can't it be stopped? And look, you can't arrest your way out of this problem. You know, you can hire more police. That's great. That is not enough to get you.
Well, and it's maddening, too, when you hear stuff like tomorrow, the Justice Department's investigation of the Chicago Police Department is going to be released.
Right.
Gary McCarthy came out last night, and this is unbelievable to me. The Justice Department never talked to him. He ran the department. They never interviewed him for this report.
That was stunning to me, too.
No. How can you issue a report without talking to the guy who ran the department up until a year ago?
Who came out actually last year and said, you know what? There were things that needed to be done.
Yeah,
I mean, this is someone that you're going to want to talk to.
And he gave a tacit endorsement to the Justice Department looking at it and saying, let's figure out what's right and what's wrong. How can the Justice Department not have talked to him?
Well, and also further on, like he was there for several years.
Yeah.
And he was clearly a hands-on manager. That is really...
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
And a complete waste in so many different ways. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure people understand that this AON program is going to be ongoing.
Ongoing, right. So there's 25 young people in the class this year. There'll be 25 young people in the class next year. It's a two-year program. But the most important thing about it, it's long-term career jobs, which is another way into a real, you know, a living wage and a great option. But what we're really trying to do is recruit other companies to get involved. So next January when we launch, the hope is you have banks, you have other insurance companies that can come. And the hope here is we're going to show how great it is. These young people are amazing and enthusiastic and smart, that other people should be jumping onto this bandwagon.
So if other companies listening are interested, contact you?
Absolutely.
Where do they do that?
You can just call me 312-381-3809. Or Bridget@BridgetGaynor.com.
Or aon.mediaroom.com to
That's
go right
exactly
to the site.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Now, in our last 60 seconds, and by the way, nice job by you. You've Thank lived you. Up to best guess. brag Oof. About something going on in the county that people ought to know about that they're not hearing about.
You know what? We talked a little bit about the land bank before, but we are way upping. We've bought about 400 homes up until now. The thing I'm most proud of is we are fully self-sustaining. We pay for ourselves through our own transactions. We don't take government money. But we also
You're not
have,
getting any Russian money?
We're not getting any Russian money.
Okay.
Although that's a nice... No. but, you know, we've bought 400 homes. We sold about 300. But that's gone to 135 small developers in the community, majority Black or Latino, living in these neighborhoods. And
so it feeds on itself and grows.
It feeds on itself and grows. And, you know, getting back to the violence thing that we talked about before... The only way to get ourselves out of this, you know, there is no cavalry coming. We are the cavalry.
Right.
We got to figure out a way to give people some opportunity, some hope. There's a lot of people that can redevelop a house. There aren't a lot of people that can go to court 25 times. So that's our job. And we're trying to hook up and create this economic opportunity.
Just so we're clear, we do have a plan for you.
Okay.
Yeah. And the plan is that the Cook County Commissioner thinks great. And I know you have younger kids and you got a life here. However, we do have you running for mayor, governor, the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And, you know, I'm not sure about the order. But
Women are multitaskers.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So just so we're clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
All right. And we'll let you know what those dates are
right.
like.
Well,
you
yeah.
know, okay. Make sure it's on your
Signatures,
calendar.
Signatures, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And congratulate your buddy here.
Yeah. So Dan Sirota, my colleague here, newlywed, new father. Rocking and rolling.
Yeah, how about
Ooh.
That?
Yeah.
Got a good life going.
It does.
Bridget Gaynor, nice to see you as always.
Thank you.